you. But our first takeout goes to Louise Story, and New York Times business reporter. And, you know, you're kind of a detective this morning. I don't know if any of you missed this front page story that Louise had on the cover of the Times yesterday. You know, I've always thought to myself, in this financial crisis, there were all these toxic assets, bad mortgages that exist on the books, and somehow they're getting traded away. Somehow they're getting getting resurrected. And you found exactly a story of this
happening. I went on a hunt. There were a ton of bad assets sold and still being sold by a lot of banks who have been under pressure to purge themselves, and they've sold them for pennies on the dollar. So, you know, Citigroup, for instance, has traded big blocks of millions of dollars of mortgage loans, but they've sold them at a huge discount. So maybe, you know, a hedge fund out there paid only 40 cents on the dollar to buy this big group of mortgages.
And these mortgages didn't go away. They're essentially lists of addresses of
people
who are, some of whom are still paying, some of whom aren't, some of whom are close to default.
A lot of whom are still living in their homes.
Right.
And I found this family in Southern California, Mary Sella and Stephen Alva. He's a 62-year-old janitor, father of three. She stays at home. They bought their house 2 years ago. They were a little stretched to do it, but they were pinching pennies to pay off this house. And out of nowhere last December, they got a letter in the mail, and it said, just call us. We bought your loan at a discount from Chase, and we want to share that discount with you. Can you imagine getting this letter?
And they said, they're paying some interest rate that's high and
right.
some payment that's huge, and they're underwater on their house, right?
Their house is way underwater.
Okay. And suddenly they get a call from a hedge fund saying, hey, we bought this for nothing.
And we'll share the discount with you, the
Which
hedge fund says.
Lowering the payment and everything?
So what? So they thought it was a scam at first. I mean, wouldn't you?
Sure.
And so they called in and they finally found out that it was true. And this hedge fund out there reduced the principal balance on their loan, the amount they owned, by $126,000.
Wow.
So this was a $440,000 loan. Now it's much lower. And so they were very happy, of course. The two things that are interesting here is, to this day, they don't know who this hedge fund was.
Huh.
It worked through all these intermediaries and kept its identity hidden from them. Okay. And second thing that's interesting is, there was a catch on them. The hedge fund didn't just give them the money. The hedge fund said, but we need you to refinance it into a government-backed loan. And when they refinanced into an FHA loan, which is the Federal Housing Administration, that agency that
right
now we're all worried about,
right.
they refinanced into an FHA loan. The moment they did that, the hedge fund was able to sell that loan into another government agency, Ginnie Mae, which bundles it up and sells it to investors. So then the hedge fund got out. They cashed out.
So they buy them at fire sale prices
yes.
from banks that probably the taxpayers own already,
right.
in the case of Citibank.
Right.
They share the discount with
the homeowner to convince them
to refinance and get a federally backed loan, which then they can unload for a much higher price.
Right. Now the risk is on the taxpayers.
Is this illegal?
No. And in fact, you know, policymakers in Washington are really encouraging people to refinance into government backed loans. And I talked to the FHA and I talked to the Treasury Department. I asked them if they were concerned. They said they have no signs of abuse, but they realize that there could be bad incentives here. So they're watching it.
Oh, it's really interesting. Louise Story, our partner, the New York Times finance correspondent on the case of what happens to bad loans when they become good business. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, we've got two perfect seasons working here and one incredible upset in the NFL weekend over the weekend.
Well, talking about that perfect season with the Indianapolis Colts, they dodged a bullet. They beat the Baltimore Ravens 15-17.
Awful game.
And they had three turnovers, which normally when you're talking about multiple turnovers in a game, you're talking about a loss.
And listen to this.
Gee, many Christmas. I've never seen such mess as we've had this afternoon. But the Colts apparently are going to get out with their 10th straight win, 19th overall. That's the ball game.
17-15 score. It's got to be a mess with that kind of a
and
score.
And they've won 19 games in a row, which means that they have the second best win streak in the NFL history.
And the New Orleans Saints, still for real, a blowout of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They did what they were supposed to do. If they had been close, you would have been wondering how many more bullets were they going to dodge, but they came out with all cylinders firing.
And Kansas City beats Pittsburgh, excuse me?
And that's the upset of the year so far. You have a Matt Castle, who was a quarterback who played for the New England Patriots last year when Tom Brady went down. He comes over, he has his own team. They've had some struggles this year, but he came through when it really mattered. And it mattered against the former Super Bowl champions. So that puts all the AFC North teams lost yesterday. And that changes the playoff picture a little bit in the AFC.
Well, let's talk about that.
So basically you have Denver, who's been on a four-game losing streak, so now the San Diego Chargers have bumped into number one in that slot. So now you have a different kind of picture. You have about three or four teams tied for the wild card race, which includes Jacksonville,
right.
And includes Pittsburgh, because Cincinnati and Indianapolis, they're really wrapping up their divisions.
And New England put a boot print on the New York Jets, so they're still in it. They're at the top of their
division.
Correct.
You can almost assume that New England and Indianapolis are going to be meeting at the end.
San Diego's at the top of its division.
Correct.
In the west of the AFC. But what about the NFC?
The NFC is looking somewhat similar, except that you have the two top teams, obviously the Minnesota Vikings
right. And
the New Orleans Saints. After that, you have a bunch of other teams, the Cowboys, the Giants, the Eagles. You have a lot of teams that are in the same position, have the same record, and right now it's a toss-up to see who's going to take those other spots.
Somebody asked me to ask you this. Is the Jets season over?
Well, the Jets season, yes. I would say the Jets season, it's not over. They have to play a bunch of more games, but are they going to make the playoffs? No.
Well, they still have to actually play the games.
It's true,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen with our sports takeout. Thanks so much.
Hey, good morning.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.